Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Meta Cafe. Grab your cup of coffee or your tea and sit back, relax, and let's chat about what is happening in the stars and in human design this morning. I love coffee. I love coffee. And my husband is particularly good at making coffee. I don't know. He just dresses it up. It never tastes the same when I make my own cup, but he makes me a cup and it is just to live for. Gotta love it. All right, everybody, here we are today on a day when Mercury turns direct. If you think that spares you from the nasty Mercury retrograde, you're not quite there yet, as we still have a couple of weeks to deal with the retro shade. We'll talk a bit about that today. Also, we woke up this morning, actually yesterday late afternoon, early evening for you all on the East Coast. The moon moved out of Leo and into Virgo, subtly changing the energy about the work that we do and about the way that we go about living our lives. And let's see what else is up today. We're going to talk a bit about the human design gate 11. As Venus moves there today to meet up with Jupiter. We talked about that yesterday, Jupiter and the galactic center conjunct at the gate 11, and now Venus moving into the gate 11. And also, we're going to talk about our Pleiadian Earth energy of the day, which is, as always, so interesting to really watch happening. As it, you know, is the spiral of consciousness that we're working with, and tapping into a calendar that moves through the spiral of consciousness as opposed to, you know, the day by day linear living, is just really fascinating to sort of feel how you are a part of everything and at the same time connected to everything. So I'm really enjoying being able to use that system with everybody here and to talk about that. All right, I see people are starting to check in with us this morning. Good morning, Debbie Hedden and Colleen, and both of you guys checking in and saying good morning. I hope everybody's doing well this morning. It is a gorgeous morning here in the Pacific Northwest. We woke up to clear skies. Woohoo! I saw some kind of poll or something the other day where Seattle was named the gloomiest city in America. Well, we may have gloomy skies, but we don't have gloomy hearts. We are a bunch of really nice people who love music and who love food and who love the natural beauty of our area, as I'm sure people from all over the country love their cities. But this morning is particularly nice because I can see Mount Rainier, which is an incredible amount of miles away from me, something like 120 miles, maybe, you know, to get to the mountain itself. And here it is. I can see it as if it's just right in my front yard. It's amazing. Okay. So anybody having any issues or anything going on in their lives that they want to talk about this morning? Literally, we have an energy shift happening. We're in the midst of it right now. And that energy shift is about the moon in Virgo. I'm calling it earth flow. You know, we talk a lot of times about water and how it flows, emotions and how they flow. And today we're going to talk about earth flow. Because it looks to me like the flow energy, the trine energy of the charts today are with a trine to Mercury, or excuse me, to Uranus in Taurus and a trine to Saturn in Capricorn, which also means that not long later will be a trine to Pluto. So we have earth flow. And earth flow to me is, you know, earth energy is that practical, demonstrative, down to earth, boots on the ground kind of energy. And it takes things step by step. It slows things down. It honors the natural order of things. It honors the natural order of time and timing and sees things in a different way than, say, the water, fire, or air elements do. And it's much more resourceful, conservative, and steward, a good steward of the land and of the land's resources and of other resources like time and money, etc. So today we're in the earth flow, which means things are slowed down a bit. And of course, with Mercury turning direct today, anytime a planet turns direct, it doesn't on a dime just stop and turn. It slows down, comes to a halt, and then begins the slow process of moving in a different direction, or at least that what it is, what it appears to us here on Earth. It's not that it's really doing that. It's not that Mercury comes to a screeching halt in its orbit around the sun. It just appears from our position here on Earth to have stopped moving as far as it's going to backwards, and now it will begin its forward motion. But while it hangs in the balance, things get a little bit wonky, and we feel maybe a little lethargic, a little confused, a little unsure of ourselves. So if you're feeling a little bit like that today, it is owing to two things: Earth flow, slowing things down, Mercury turning direct, but stationing, and stationing is that spot in time where it just sort of hangs there before it moves. And so we are kind of in a slow down period. And that means it may not be a great day to make big decisions. It may not be a great day to go and make big moves out in the world or change things in a very profound way. But the energy of movement is coming, and it is actually kind of there flowing with the earth energy under the surface today. So let's check in then with the moon, also in a sextile to Mercury today. Mercury in retrograde until 11:09 my time this morning, and that would put it at 2:09 p.m. on the West Coast, when it will then begin its movement forward, however, still in the retro shade for a good amount of time, about 3 weeks, taking us up to about December 9th before it again moves forward. So, what do we have as far as the moon is concerned then today, with it being in the sign of Virgo? We have emphasis on our working life. Working life as in our coworkers, the environment that we're in today in our workplace, the daily rhythm and routines that we have, our, you know, to-do list. For some of you, that is an interminable list. For others of you, it's a got to do this, 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 and this, and when I'm done, I'm done, and that's it. So Virgo energy helps us to get organized in that kind of way and get instilled in a rhythm and a flow of energy. Now, Virgo moon also has a lot to do with our health, the body. The body is in Virgo territory, Virgo territory, also the sixth house territory. So we have an affinity between Virgo, the natural ruler of the sixth house of health, work, service, the body. And so that also means then we have this opportunity today to maybe get some exercise in, or to, you know, define for ourselves what healthy habits are that we want to maybe begin, or, you know, strengthen, or, you know, come up with in our daily lives. It is a day of moderation. It is a day where we are not going to overdo things, whether it be exercise or eating or doing something. We're definitely going to do the moderate in this, as in earth energy is like practical. Is it really practical to go out today and run 5 miles if you've never even run 1 mile, right? We got to consider those things when we are dealing with health and our regimen of health in starting something. If you're going to start a health regimen, you certainly don't start by throwing yourself out there and, you know, blasting out your muscles, which then tomorrow morning you wake up and you're like, I don't want to move. And then your exercise routine is just blown up, right? So, and then it's easy to fall back into the old habits. So moderation. Today's also a day to focus on alternative healing. Go get a massage. Go get your, go get a leg, what do you call that? A mani-pedi. Go do things that are helpful to your body. Use techniques that are alternative. And this sort of reminds me when I see the health component in Virgo, that I really believe at some point astrologers are going to agree that perhaps Chiron is a better ruler of Virgo than Mercury, or maybe it could become a co-ruler of the sign of Virgo, because Chiron really shows us where we can use techniques to heal our problems from a different level than which they were created from. And where Western medicine is really good at, you know, doing things like healing your broken legs, or, you know, setting your your health back on the right track, it is often very symptom oriented. And so it's throwing medicines or techniques at your symptoms without addressing the whole of who you are, the whole of your body, mind, and soul. It's getting better, right? Western medicine is coming along in that way. But alternative healing looks for the subtleties, the underneath the surface type of things that have created havoc in your health or in your body or even in your mind. And it's interesting because the sixth house rules the physical body. Its opposite house, the 12th, rules what's going on here in the psychology or the subconscious or the unconscious, where the patterns that have been implemented in your life are really running the show, really running the show. And so Moon in Virgo gives us an opportunity to lean into perhaps some different forms of healing and a different way of looking at the body, maybe be stepping back a little bit and looking at the body holistically, as opposed to, oh, I have a headache, let me take some Tylenol and be done with it. What's caused the headache, right? Is it coming from your neck that might be stiff because you slept wrong, and maybe you just need to do some, you know, quick yoga movements or neck movements that help loosen up your body rather than going directly to the pill bottle. And so it's, and there's nothing wrong with going to Tylenol or anything like that. That's not my point here. But what we get is a look at the holism of your body and how all of the parts are playing together, the parts that you see, the physical, the inner, the parts that you don't see, the organs and how they're working, the physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual components of the health in your body. So Virgo gives us access to techniques maybe that address that as opposed to just throwing the drugs at the symptoms. And this is an energy that helps us get organized. I was really up very early this morning. First thing I did was make my bed. Then I got dressed. Then I got my makeup on. Then I sat down and did all this work this morning to get ready. And I went, wow, this is pretty interesting. The moon's in Virgo and my natal moon is in Virgo. And I'm right on top of it, right? Just right there with all of the steps that I needed to do. The routine was just coming so smoothly this morning. So the routine, tending to the details, getting organized, efficiency, going with the flow of energy, all very much a part of our day today. Now, remember too, that part of the reason that Mercury is a good ruler, partly good ruler for the sign of Virgo, is because Mercury is the ruler of the mind. And in Virgo energy, the mind meets up with discernment. And discernment is our ability to critically think through an issue or think before we speak or to analyze a situation, being calm in a crisis and determining or discerning what would be the next best step to do, what makes sense to do. It is a very good sign for planning your day, planning how to get to a goal. So all of the earth signs actually sort of resonate with this flow of steps and planning and goal setting, kind of the bigger steps, the goal, right? The goal, where do I want to be? I want to be over here. The Virgo energy is much more detail oriented, and planets moving through Virgo or in Virgo in your natal chart help you to see what are the steps, the one, two, threes to getting to the goal. So the earth energies work together to help us see that. And then, you know, the earth energy Taurus helps us till the ground, prepare the ground for what it is that we want to sow. So the earth energies, they work well together to bring us the ability to get to the end result, starting with preparing the ground, setting the goal, and then taking the steps that need to get to the goal. So when, you know, for example, this week I've been working on a mind map about my business. I've been working on a mind map about the webinar. All of these different things are so cool because it takes the Saturn. First, you prepare the sheet, right? You're prepared. Okay, my thinking, I'm going to start putting ideas down on this paper. And then the major parts of the mind map represent the bigger goals. And then the Virgo energy kicks in, and underneath those are the parts that you start filling in the details. And you can get as detailed as you want to, including dates and, you know, when things must be done, etc. So today's energy, really good for us planning, being calm and, you know, coolly reflective of what needs to be done and the ability to analyze and critically think. But we need to watch for anxiety in all of this. Anxiety comes when we are overthinking. If you get too caught up in your mind and your mind gets stuck in the minutiae, gets stuck in the details. I mean, that's a real problem for Virgo thinkers, is often they get stuck in the minutiae. They forget to step back every once in a while and look at the bigger picture and see what's the bigger picture. Right. So remember that anxiety often comes when we are so inured in the details and we lose sight of what's more important. Right. So we have to both be bigger thinkers and detailed thinkers, but without getting lost in the details. Also watching out for the fact that Virgo is opposing Pisces, and Pisces energy is the home of the victim. And in Virgo, we have the blame game. So we have the victim martyr sort of energy going across that axis. And that's the more negative expression of a Virgo moon, is determining that you're not at fault for something. And so we put it out there on other people, right? We don't want to deal with it ourselves. So we blame our childhoods. We blame our spouses. We blame our jobs. We blame our whatever you want to say is the fault. Is what we play with Virgo and Pisces across, you know, an axis. So the blame game and victimhood, that is oh so last century. Let's let that go. And let's keep moving forward into taking responsibility for ourselves and what we are doing in the world, who we are in the world. All right. So questions. I see more people jumping in here this morning. Debbie says it's beautiful in West Central Illinois. Also, I love it. Amy, good morning to you. She says, good morning from the grocery store. Wow, I really lost track of time this morning. I love it. That's the beauty of mobile phones or cell phones, right? No matter where you are, you can connect. It's just such an interesting time we live in. Good morning, Asa and Linda. Good morning. And Karen Devine, good morning. Debbie Tippett's Tumiel, good morning to you. I saw your text messages coming through, but I couldn't answer them. Sorry. Linda says, hi, did you get my message I sent Saturday? Also, ex's attorney sent settlement offer for me to consider today. Okay, but consider, Linda, let's not quite make a big decision like that yet. How interesting that it shows up on the day Mercury is going to turn to direct. Debbie Tibbetts, yes, live. Oops, I can't read what that says. I've actually been really organized this morning, actually this whole week. Awesome, Debbie. She's our Taurus energy, right? She's getting the ground ready for what she wants to do. Okay. So let's turn to Mercury retrograde. We did talk a bit about that, but let me just remind you, it turns direct at 11:09 West Coast time, 2:09 p.m. for you all this afternoon, which means that you are still in the retrograde, which means that you are still in the time when we don't make big moves, right? We take our time to consider things. We take our time to maybe reevaluate and come to some kind of an understanding about what's real and what's being offered in terms, like, for example, Linda, in your situation, is it realistic? Is it supportive? Or is it something that you need to send back to the attorney and say, try again, right? Because that's an opportunity that you have to consider here right now. Now, later today, as Mercury begins to move forward, it's going to be moving back through territory it's already been visited, right? So it's funny, we were talking about this last night in our astrology forum. For those of you who are members in the Living Astrology Academy, we were talking about Saturn returns. One of our listeners was mentioning how her son's Saturn return is going to get hit three times during the cycle. And then I realized, oh my God, my own Saturn return, same thing happening to me as Saturn crosses 28 Capricorn, goes back over 28 Capricorn and goes forward again across it until it finally leaves me alone. And same thing with our listener's Sun, 0 degrees Aquarius, going back over that, then coming back over that. Very powerful indication of change and transformation in a life, right? That's what Saturn returns are about, reorganizing your life. So Mercury does much the same thing, only it attacks us more times in a year than Saturn does like that. It moves through maybe 3 or 4 times in a year. It moves through the retrograde motion. So it moves forward. And then it goes backwards over the same territory. So you revisiting things again and maybe picking up threads of something that you missed the first time. And then it comes to its hanging point, the stop point of the retrograde. And then it begins to turn into direct motion. So it's hanging there for a moment. And then it goes back forward over the same area that it's already been through now twice. And so here's its third pass. And if you think then that this is just some minor kind of activity that's going on in your life, think again, because this has been in Scorpio. So this has been digging up the shadows, the fears, the uglies, right? The things that you've not wanted to look at, the stuff that, you know, you put on the back shelf and you're like, no, I don't really want to look at that anymore. But it comes back at you, right? And this is, it's a good time for solving things, for bringing, you know, long-standing issues to an end, but it takes time and it takes our looking at something again, re-evaluating something. So today we begin the process of the last couple of weeks of this, where Mercury begins to move forward across everything that it's already been at in forward motion once and retrograde once. So now we get to see things anew. New possibilities may be coming out. If you held yourself in check during that period of time, didn't make big moves or big changes based on Mercury being in retrograde, then now you'll see why it is that that happened and why it was that things slowed down and why it is perhaps that divine right timing suggested that this was going to be a longer process than what you'd hoped for, right? You hoped for solution in the moment, but it seemed to be dragging out. And now you might begin to see the reasoning behind that, right? It might become clearer to you why things were being drug on. And then also it affords us the opportunity to see things come to a completion, to come to closure, to be able to see that there is a light at the end of the tunnel. And the tunnel here has been sort of through that dark and that deep, passionate, intense energy of Scorpio. So I, for one, will be happy to see Mercury move on out of Scorpio and into Sagittarius, but I can also see the beauty of the energies that have been there. And it hasn't always been comfortable. In fact, sometimes it was downright uncomfortable to sit in the pity potty sometimes, or to have to drag up old things that you thought you were done with and take a look at them from new, fresh angles. And now, hopefully, this is the last time I'm going to deal with some of the things I dealt with, and hopefully for you all as well. Wouldn't that be nice to say, okay, I got you, I got that lesson, and I'm done with that. I'm moving forward. So I'm happy to see that. Londa, good morning. And Linda says, I think the offer is too low. I would like to negotiate. Well, that's quite possible now with Mercury changing direction. And good morning, Mary. It's great to see you out there too this morning. Okay, questions about Mercury direct, about how that might be affecting you, or about what to do or what not to do, please put those questions down there in the chat box, and I will check again in a few minutes about that. We also have a minor, scritchy little square going on today. It is a sesquisquare, a sesquiquadrate, a minor square. So we have several different names to describe this kind of square energy, and it's between Mars and Neptune. We already know we're going to be in trouble, right? We already know there's going to be this feeling beneath the surface because of it being difficult for us to know what we really want, or difficult for us to know what it is that we're meant to do and what action that we're meant to take. Mars is the action principle. Right? He wants action. He is now newly in Scorpio, a sign he rules and or co-rules, and he wants to move. He wants to take action on his passions, and he wants to be direct in his approach. But now he's come right up into a sesquisquare with the planet Neptune, which is dim. It's hard to see. It's, you know, kind of got this veil across it, and it's etheric. It's not concrete. And it kind of slows things down. So today, anyway, for the short term, taken with Mercury turning direct, changing directions, the very changing of directions tends to make this a day to wait, maybe hold on making big decisions because things aren't clear. And there may be confusion that comes up. You think, yes, I'm going in that direction, and you start down that road, and then something, comes up within, or some kind of, influence from spirit comes in, and now you're not sure. So today, definitely not a good day to make those kinds of decisions. This is a minor aspect. It is a short-term aspect, so it will move on, and we will get some clarity as time goes on, as Mars separates away from that sesquisquare. So wait for big decisions, right? Wait. Just the day. Give yourself a day or maybe two to get some clarity, to let Mercury actually get some speed up and start that change into that forward motion. Giving yourself time. Time is your ally. Time is your friend today. Okay, now I want to move over to the Pleiadian Earth energy of the day. Today is seven moving energy, and moving energy is related to the Mayan calendar in the symbol of Chichon, which is the serpent. And it was funny because I hadn't done the work yet this morning, and I was doodling on something, and now I don't even know where. Oh yeah, I was doodling on something, and I drew a serpent. I drew a snake, and I was like, why am I drawing that? So I just set it aside and then, started down my day and realized, ah, today's Chichon energy, Chichon moving energy. And so let's deal first with the seven, because the seven is the universal energy for all of us everywhere. We are resonating with the energy of seven, which is about merging worlds. So we're merging spirit and matter. We're merging the seen with the unseen. So we are in a doorway, a portal, if you will, between the physical and the etheric. And from that position, we see both points of view very easily. It is mystical energy that calls on us to understand hidden truths, right? For example, Linda, perhaps holding on that offer coming from your ex's attorney allows you to see some kind of hidden truth, something that you hadn't seen before. And just that very, small time of waiting, you gain clarity and insight. This is a great time to resolve and transcend conflicts. Maybe, looking at that offer, Linda, you can see a path that others don't see, right? Because you're here in this energy, you're learning about what it is that we're energetically, how we're evolving. Here is where we're able to transcend and move through the conflicts that have arisen from our incorrect use of duality, our incorrect understanding of duality. We talked about the duality when we went through the two universal day 5 days ago, where duality, polarity, the whole idea of dual thinking came into the picture. So we've created conflicts from our dualistic mind, and here's an opportunity to bring all those pieces together and create a path forward. And in this, we also have the ability to recognize our inherent spiritualness, right? Our divineness, that we are part of the divine, and that all of the divine, everything else is a part of us. We're a part of everything. And everything is a part of us, that there's no separation, and that we're connected, right? There's a real feeling of connection, the connectedness of everything. And even ideas and emotions and the flow of energy is all interconnected in some way. We just have to go with that flow. Now, moving energy, Chichon energy, is where conflicts arise to stimulate that change. So initially, you may have a conflict with someone or with information that you've received, or in Linda's case, this offer that she's received, but it creates the pathway to transformation, to change, it creates an aliveness. It stimulates our thinking. But what happens to us typically when something like that, when a conflict arises, we go into the anger of it, or we go into the polarity, the divisiveness that we've been living in for so long, instead of seeing how this is just the opposite side of the same coin. And how do we merge those? That's the energy of today. How do we merge these seemingly opposing things? There's crisis energy also in this, which is a great thing because the moon in Virgo is very able to deal with crisis, right? So we have on one side this trigger for perhaps a crisis or an angry or an upset or something that's not clear. And yet we also have the moon in Virgo that helps us deal with and manage crises energies in a better way. I love that. We are also exploring the high highs and the low lows. And that feels a little bit bipolar, I would imagine, for some people. And a lot of bipolar energy runs through our human design because we are living in this dualistic world. In human design, nearly every gate has a positive and a negative expression. And of course, the medium would be the neutral expression of the energy. So in some of the gates of the solar plexus, the emotional center, you have the high highs, right? I'm in joy and bliss and everything is right as rain, followed by the low lows. And it's only the timing that is different for each person. Is it undulating, you know, where it's up and down several times? Is it high, high, and then a slow roll down to the bottom? Or is it a high, high, and then a precipitous drop down? That's different for each of us. But we all carry that dualistic energy, that bipolar sort of energy within us. And maybe it's our opportunity now to explore that, to learn about ourselves through that. What happens when you're in that low, low? How do you react? Are you reactive in that low, or are you taking action in that low, right? That's always fun to sort. I'm not going to say it's fun to feel that low energy, but it is kind of interesting to think about exploring the next low energy that you have, the next low, meaning sadness or depression or anger or upset or guilt or shame or any of those, you know, lower vibrational energies. And instead of, you know, making it an I am, it is an I feel, and I'm exploring why I feel like that. What triggered that? I'm going to move through it in a different way, perhaps. That's the high side of some of the changes that can be wrought with today's energy, right? We can learn new things through exploring the highs and the lows, or the oppositions, or the dualities. Makes sense to everybody, I hope, right? Good morning, Joanne. And Karen Devine says, will it help my body pain? Or will, when the moon moves this week into Sagittarius, help? I think you mean the sun. The sun moves into Sagittarius this week. The moon, your, I think I know what you're talking about, Karen, because of the question that you emailed to me. Your progressed moon will be moving into Sagittarius, but in 2 months. Right. So we've talked about the progressed moon before. So let me just take that, since that's a question, we might as well talk about it. The moon progresses through your astrology chart 1 degree of the zodiac for every month. So when it moves into a new sign, it is literally a 29 or 28 and a half month, 29 month process. So the biggest change occurs at the moment the moon transits out of the one sign and into the other. So every 29 months, like sort of like a snake shedding its skin, you move into new energy. So Karen, your moon has been in the sign of Scorpio, and Scorpio does trigger pain, right? It triggers the deep dive. It triggers looking at the intensity of what you're feeling and experiencing. Making choices, you know, rising to a higher perspective to see from a different level what it is that, you know, you're moving through. When the moon shifts over into Sagittarius for you, progresses into Sagittarius in 2 months, because you were at the 28th degree of Sagittarius. So it's going to be 2 months you're going to transit into Sagittarius, then you're going to have this opportunity to look at the underlying beliefs. What's going on here? What do I take as truth? Jupiter rules Sagittarius, so there's an opportunity for expansion and for optimism. So I feel like a lot of what's going on for you right now is exploring the lower energy, and then the moon changes direction or changes signs, excuse me, and moves you into new energy, exploring different options with more optimism and checking in with those beliefs that you're holding, the truths that you believe are true, right? There's a lot of things that we take as truths that we explore when we're in Sagittarius type of energy. But the sun on Friday is definitely moving into Sagittarius, and that also may trigger some feelings, some changes in your physical beingness. I hope that helps, Karen, clearing that up. Good morning, Tracy. Nice to see you out there this morning too. Okay, that was a great question. All right, so I think that is just about it for me this morning. I have a couple small things that I just wanted to remind you of. For one thing, this morning, the planet Venus has moved into the gate 11, joining up with Jupiter and the galactic center, and magic is afoot, right? The magic is there. And gate 11, remember, or gene key 11, is the gate of the light. In its highest expression, in its siddhi, its light. It is the path of obscurity to the light via idealism and ideals. And what, you know, Linda, to your point, you were talking on Saturday, you sent me the email about your ideal life. What is that? And how can I get there? Well, first of all, I have to recognize that I'm not living in my ideal. And why am I not living in my ideal? In my ideal world, I can be XYZ. I can do XYZ, which brings me to another interesting thing that happened to me this morning. I was, I don't know what I was doing. Somehow I got to this video. I think it's a group of teachers, pretty powerful teachers that come together and teach in this program called Mind Valley. And I've done, you know, several different things with them. Well, this morning, as I was getting ready for the show, I had a pop-up notification that told me that there was a video with Michael Bernard Beckwith. And I love him. I actually met him in person when I was in California for a Marianne Williamson event a few years back. And a group of us women went to the church that he was teaching at. He happened to be in town that weekend. So we were able to actually meet him and chat with him a bit. What a beautiful soul. And so I saw the video and I went, okay, I want to really watch this video. And it was just a quick, you know, 2 or 3 minute video. But what he was saying in the video was pretty profound and really speaks to where we are right now in our evolution as we're moving up the cycle here. He was talking about the law of attraction and how we believe that to be about our thoughts. And we may even now understand it has an emotional component. But now he's taking it to the next level and he's calling it the law of resonance. Now, I don't know if this, I haven't had time. I'm only bringing this up because I just think it's kind of interesting to fall on me this morning, you know, or come to my mind this morning. Where this law of resonance, which again, I haven't researched that. So I don't even know for sure that there's an actual law of resonance, but I bet there is. And it really speaks to who we believe we are. Resonance. What is your identity? What are you resonating to with your whole being? If you're resonating to the energy of lack, then that's what you see in the world. If you're resonating to prosperity, then that tends to be what you see in the world. But it also becomes then an attractive force. So you're attracting more of those kinds of experiences with you, to you. If you view yourself or see your identity, if you're identified as a person with low self-worth, and that's how you see yourself as not worthy of receiving or not worthy of having what you want, then by the law of resonance, your identity, your beingness is attracting situations or things to you that are in that resonance. Duh, right? Duh. We know this too. We know this too. And I was like, oh my gosh, I totally get it. So later today, I'm going to be attending a master class, which I'm sure is one of those things they want you to buy into the whole class in order to really get the full picture. But I'm going to attend this master class about this law of resonance. And of course, you know me, Gemini, I got to go find the information. I will be researching it almost ad nauseum until I really understand. I get it already. I see it. I feel it already, the truth here. And now I just want to know, okay, what the next question in all of that is, how do I change my identity, right? If I'm not liking what I'm seeing in my outer world, then what is it that I need to change within here, within me, to make that possible? And how do I go about doing that? That's always another good question. How do you do that? How do you make that change? I mean, we have several techniques, of course, that we can do that. We can change our minds, what we focus on. We can meditate, and there are many tools, but I want to hear what he has to say about that. So that's later on this afternoon. So hopefully I'll have some new aha about that to share with you all tomorrow. And do your own, you know, due diligence. Maybe take a look for yourself. You could go to Mind Valley and check out the masterclass. I forgot what it's called, but look up Michael Bernard Beckwith and the law of resonance and see what you find, right? Okay, that is it for me this morning. I have a meeting to head to, so I need to go. Just quick reminders, today we're in Earth Flow, which is the energy of the moon in Virgo, an earth sign flowing nicely with Uranus, which is in an earth sign Taurus, also flowing nicely with Saturn in an earth sign Capricorn. And we also have Mercury hanging in its getting ready to move to direct motion. Not a great day to make big moves. Take it slow. Also Mars in that sesquisquare or the minor square to Neptune, making things a little bit cloudy as far as what do we want? Where do we want to go? What do I need to do? So maybe today's not the best day to make big moves, but it might be a day to set the tone for change, for healing the dualism that you're experiencing, the polarity that you're experiencing. And also keep in mind that behind all of this is this galactic center at the gate of light, and Venus and Jupiter joining the galactic center at the gate of light, urging us to take in more light energy through your DNA and to be able to transduce that energy. Transduction means we're taking it in, but we're also shining it out. So becoming more and more of the light. That's it for me. You guys take care. Have a great day. I'll see you tomorrow morning. Bye for now.